For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to Numbers chapter 8. You may recall that 2 weeks ago we visited the first 4 verses of this chapter, and then last Lord's Day we went to Numbers chapter 9. And we did so because we hope to listen to the rest of chapter 8 also in connection with the installation of a deacon this morning. So let us turn in God's Word to Numbers chapter 8, and we start reading at verse 5, and we read to the end of the chapter. Let us hear the Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. And thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto thee from among the children of Israel. Instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes. And Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. From the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation, to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. The summary of this all is in verses 21 and 22. The Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, when the Levites came to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, before Aaron, before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. Dear congregation, are you ready? The question which is asked more often, are you ready? Ask of the children. Bus is coming soon. Are you ready? Do you have everything in your backpack? And are you ready for school? Maybe it was asked this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to go to church? Are you all dressed nicely and everything else? Are you ready? This morning it's about something else. Are you ready to serve? Ready to serve the Lord? Maybe when we ask that question, our thoughts naturally go to Brother Gooding as he is to be installed as a deacon. Is he ready to serve? And that's certainly a question for him, but that's also a question for us all, isn't it? Because serving is not just a matter of being in the office. It's a matter for every person to be ready to serve in the Lord. It's for young people to be ready to serve the Lord, not waste their lives in sin, or otherwise, children here, to be ready to serve. What is the secret of being ready to serve the Lord? Whatever way he calls. We see that in this passage. As we listen to this theme, prepared to serve the Lord. Prepared to serve the Lord. 3 points. First, we see the Levites in the wilderness. Then we see Christ in the fullness of time. And third, we see God's servants in the church. Prepared to serve the Lord. First, the Levites in the wilderness. Christ in the fullness of time. And third, God's servants in the church. They're presented to the Lord as Israel's gift to the Lord for his service. And that's why verse 10 says there, the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. The representatives of the tribes and the other tribes of Israel were to put their hands on the Levites to show that they were giving those Levites to serve the Lord in this special way, and in that way releasing them from the other duties that they would have had, for example, fighting in the army and other things. As we saw in Numbers 3 and 4 some time ago, the Levites took the place of the firstborn among all the tribes who were to be dedicated to the Lord in a special way. And now Israel was giving the Levites to the Lord. Was this simply like what can happen in our families? There's a job to be done, and suddenly there is a brother who thinks very highly of his other brother and says, Johnny can do it because he is good at it. Is that how it is with these other tribes? Levi can do it so that I don't have to. Not at all. This is the Lord's appointing. Verse 16. God commands, instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. Verse 14. Thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. This is God's command, God's appointment. He chose that tribe to serve. What were they to do? They were to be wholly devoted to God. In verse 16 we read, they are wholly given unto me. They are to be all for God, their whole being, their mind and their strength and their soul and their heart, their whole life was to be for God. Was it just a matter of putting so many hours in the temple or in the tabernacle? They are for me. More specifically, in verse 19, he says, I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation. God chose them as a gift for himself and then gave them to Aaron to serve in that work. Aaron couldn't do everything alone there in the tabernacle. And that is why he needed the help of the priests. And the priests could not do everything. And that is why they needed the help of the Levites. And so these Levites were offered up unto God. And God, as it were, gave them back to Aaron to help him in that work. Maybe it was bringing water there. Maybe it was preparing with the sacrifices to be offered up. It was also the transport of the tabernacle in the wilderness, as we heard some time ago. They were to serve. Our form for the installation of office bearers actually refers to the Levites. And it says that just as the Levites were appointed to help the priests in their service, so the elders were appointed to help the ministers in their service. And we can certainly also apply that to the deacons. You think of Acts 6. Now there were the apostles, they were helping the poor and the widows in their needs. And all their work became too much for them, and therefore these deacons were appointed in Acts 6 to help with that work. That's what we have here. The work is too much for the priests, and the deacons are appointed, or the Levites are appointed to serve. So the Levites were an offering wholly dedicated to the Lord to serve him by assisting Aaron in the work of the temple. Now comes the question. How can they be prepared to serve? Ready to serve in this way? How can they come into that holy tabernacle, into the presence of God, and serve him acceptably? Were they not unfit? They were. And that's why they needed, first of all, to be washed. First thing the Lord commands in verse 6 is, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. They must be cleansed to serve. Because how can filthy ones come in my presence and serve? How can slaves of sin be servants of me? The Lord Jesus said, right, you cannot serve two masters. Therefore, they must be washed from that sin. How will that be? Verse 7 continues, thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. The first thing they are to do, or the first thing spoken of here, is that this water is to be sprinkled upon. And this water is literally, in Hebrew, the water of sin. In other words, the water of cleansing away of sin. And it's to be sprinkled on. That water most likely came from that lake there in the tabernacle court, which was ceremonially clean. That ceremonial the clean and cleansing water is to be sprinkled on. And that came with a promise. And though we read such a promise much later in the Old Testament, it's the same meaning here on earth. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, for I cleanse you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That the first thing it speaks about when it talks about being prepared to serve, is God's promise to cleanse you from your idols that are cleanness. In that he's saying, I know totally called to serve me. I also give cleansing grace to break down those idols that you naturally serve, so that I alone would be your king and you would serve me. I am clean. Sprinkle clean water upon me. Break your heart in repentance. Fill with a godly spirit. Fill with a desire to serve me and me alone. It's a promise in that spring. And at the same time, there's this call. Let them shave their bodies and wash their clothes and so make themselves clean. So the Levites have to cleanse themselves after all. That's right. God cleanses you. You cleanse yourself. They take that sharp knife and they have to cut off all their hair. Those days they didn't have those buzzers and those razors and things we have today. That was a difficult thing to do. Get all that hair off, and that is what they had to do. Cut it off. And it was a message that it's as if sin is so stuck to us and so infects us. It's represented there in the hair that is to be cut off so that a person is clean. That's why they're also to wash themselves and wash their clothes. Picturing being new, being fresh, being clean. That's the call. Wash you. Get you clean. And once they had done so, were they then clean enough? I put away some things. If I do some good things, am I clean enough to serve God? How much sin do I have to put away? How much cleanness do I, how clean do I have to be fit to serve God? Maybe some have been trying a long time to wash themselves enough to be a fit servant of God. But it never works. Verse 8. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, and another young bullock shall thou take for a sin offering. And in verse 12 we read, the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. They can only be received as servants of the Lord through atonement. Through being brought into a right relationship with God. Because unless we are accepted, our persons are accepted by God, all our labor cannot be accepted. We ourselves need to be right with God to be servants in order to then serve God. And that's only through the atonement. Atonement, congregation. What's that mean? Children, what does atonement mean? That original word for atonement is cover. Having a cover. Because you and I have sinned. And we have sinned in our past. And we can't undo it. And we can't push it away. And we can't just forget about it. We have that sin. And we have that sin of us. And we need a cover. So that God doesn't see that sin anymore. So that God sees that covering and is satisfied. And there's only one covering that will do for our sin. It's not the coverings we have of hiding our sin. It's that covering of the blood of a sacrifice. blood of a sacrifice offered as a substitute. And that's why it says they had to lay their hands on that animal and confess they had sinned. They had a burden of guilt that demands their death, that makes them unworthy of being a servant of God, but rather worthy of the sword of God. They, as it were, place their hands upon that bullock, and with that placing their hands, were, as it were, laying that burden of sin upon that bullock. And then that bullock's blood was shed. That bullock died because that sin of the Levites was upon it. It died in their place. And it's that blood which is the atonement, which is the covering. Covered with that blood, that God sees those Levites as if they had already received the punishment for their sin, and therefore God would not punish them anymore, but he would be pleased with them, he would accept them, and he would bless them and receive them as his servants. Atonement is what turns God's anger away because he sees sin no more. For these Levites to serve God, God is showing them this is the way to be prepared through the atonement that I provide, through that blood that covers you, so that you may be accepted as my servants. Serve me. See these Levites? Shaving themselves, washing their clothes, coming there by the temple or tabernacle, receiving that water that sprinkles them, coming with those bullocks, laying their, first of all, the Israelites laying their hands upon the Levites, saying, these are a gift, being waved before the Lord, and then also laying their hands upon that bullock, seeing that bullock killed, seeing that offering go up, and in that way, they were clean. They were servants. They were prepared to serve. So you see this picture. You see your picture. Or do we first need to see the perfect picture of this law? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. So our second point is Christ in the fullness of time. These Levites offered unto God as his servants. Do they not point to a far greater servant of God? One that was not chosen by men, but God's chosen one. God's elected, whom his soul delighted. The one whom God says, behold, my servant. One who was not offered up by men to be devoted to God's service, the one who was rejected by men, despised and not esteemed, and yet he offered himself wholly unto God, wholly for God. Everything in his being, every fiber of his being, every moment of his time, offered up unto God, only for God. The contrast he was to all the Levites who needed that sin offering to be prepared to serve, who needed to be reconciled to God and cleansed in the blood of Christ, in the blood of Christ, yes. He didn't need to be washed. He was clean. He was pure. He was ready from his conception to serve God. Yet, like the Levites, that point came when he was to offer himself and begin his public ministry. Not at the age of 25, as we read at the end of this passage, but at the age of 30. And how did that public ministry begin? It began with a washing. John didn't understand. He said, I have need to be washed of thee. Must I wash thee? The Lord Jesus says, let it be so now, to fulfill all righteousness. And he went
to that water. The water of cleansing, that sin water. But here is a contrast. When he began his ministry with a washing, it actually was the opposite of a washing. As it were, those people had gone and they had been baptized, and all that sin, as it were, had gone into that water. And when he went in that water, he took upon himself all that sin that had been washed away from us. And he took it upon himself, and that is why John said at that time, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He who was clean took that sin upon himself. And that is why he did not need the sacrifice of another. He became that sacrifice. He is in the one who in the end did not have people lay their hands on him to offer him up to God, but rather lay their hands on him to take him, to capture him, to bind him, to put him on trial, to condemn him. And behind that was God's great hand of taking him and offering him up to God as a sacrifice. There was Christ, the sacrifice. There upon the cross, his blood was shed. That blood which now washes all sin away. That blood which is now the atonement that gives reconciliation to God. Because he's done so. He is the source of all this grace of the text we have before us. The second point is free, but it's the hinge whereby what happens here with the Levites swings over to us today. Christ is that hinge that makes this grace that we find in this text in the wilderness real today. This grace of cleansing, this grace of atonement, this grace of dedication to God is all in this Christ. Apart from Christ, we are never ready to serve. We serve sin. We serve Satan. We serve the world. We serve ourselves, even with all our religiosity. We serve ourselves, apart from Christ. We're not washed. We're yet in our sins. Apart from Christ, we have no atonement. God still marks our sin, and we're condemned. Apart from Christ, we are not Christ, God's servants. We are rebels against him. It's Christ who makes all the difference. It's Christ who makes ready to serve. That's why our final point is God's people in his church prepared to serve. Christ, the servant of God, secured and gives all this grace to be ready to serve. He's the one who causes to share in his atoning grace. Who here is still not reconciled to God? Who here does not have a covering for their sin? This passage is about sharing in that grace that forgives all sin, that clears all guilt, that turns away all God's anger, and that causes his favor to shine upon you so that you are received by God and you are a servant. Grace of Christ, that he applies his atoning blood to do such things. He's the one who, by his Spirit, leads sinners to lay their hand on that offering. Not just their hand, but their all upon this Savior. To see, I am all sin. I am all guilt. Without excuse. And there's nothing I can do to get rid of that burden. There's nothing I can do to cover my sin. There or without a hope besides.
They had a lamb of God in death. All that gives are him and him alone. And that blood to cleanse you in the sight of God. This is the grace of Christ. This, he applies it in this way, working these things, leading this to this himself. In peace with God and the status of his servant. You don't have a covenant. Here is a covenant. There is a living Christ who gives that covenant so freely, so graciously. Even when you have that covering, you can still so often feel disqualified as a servant. And how can you continue as his servant? It's only by time and again, long seeking for the Lamb of God to see the cleansing blood of Christ. To take that seal away. We must show no variation with our sin, with our gifts, and to this sacrifice. This Lamb of God, there's no other covering. And there's none other that you need than this. But he not only gives atonement, cover, but he also gives cleansing. Who here is so unfit to serve because of the uncleanness of your heart? Remember, catechism class, we not only have a bad record, but also a bad heart. Is that what you have? A heart with that sin so deeply rooted there. How to be delivered from it. How to have a heart that hates all sin and loves God and wants to serve God with all your heart. Christ cleanses from filth, from idols. How many here this morning are living proof that Christ cleanses? There you were with your heart fixed upon your own honor, your own self-righteousness. You looked down upon everyone else, but he came and he showed you what an idol self was, and he broke it. And you broke down before him. Loathing yourself instead of idolizing yourself. Filling with one desire. Lord, thy name must be glorified. There was another one among us. The grip of sin. The grip of a lust. Your conscience told you it wasn't good, but you continued on and on, and it got worse and worse. But Christ came and used that sin to expose the filth of your very heart and bring you to him for cleansing. And when he cleansed, that sin became sinful and holiness became delightful, and a hunger and a thirst after righteousness was born. We could go on. But if this cleansing grace can be for anyone, it can be for everyone. Don't we all need it? First time or again, we are all unclean. Isaiah says, come, here is cleansing that makes ready to serve God. It's cleansing, renewing grace of his Spirit. You also have that water sprinkled upon you. The water of baptism. As a sign and seal of that promise of God, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. My friend, there's a word of God to bring back to him. Lord, thou thyself hast said, fulfilled, I shall be ready to serve all the days of my life. Okay.
gives a covering atonement. He gives cleansing. He also gives his dedication to God. The Levites were offered up to God's service. Isn't that the grace of Christ, the fruit of Christ's grace? You think of John Calvin, how he said, I offer my heart to thee, Lord, promptly and sincerely. This is what Romans 12 speaks about, to offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't just for office bearers. This is for all God's people. This is the grace of Christ. So captures your heart that you say, this Christ, this God, deserves all. To him are all we dedicate. To him we wholly consecrate the lives, his mercies, bless. Is this not a blessing? Is this not the most blessed life? So live out of this grace of Christ that you desire to serve him in whatever way he pleases you to serve him. Can there be a better life than this? You see, a service, it's not in the service of a taskmaster who says, this is what you have to do, and that is what you have to do, and you figure out how to do it, and you do it in your own strength. No, it is a service of his Christ, who laid down his life to give a covering, to give cleansing, to give this dedication to him, and that makes it a delight. My friend, has his service become a delight? Has it become a delight, young people? The desire of your heart to serve him. Out of the wonder of his cleansing grace to a sinner like you. This text is to draw us to this Christ. Whether for the first time or again, because there's nothing better. Children, there's nothing better in life than to be washed of your sin. To have a new heart that has this desire to serve. This morning, Christ shows how willing he is to give all that grace. To also continue to give that grace. Where is your life? You may be discouraged. What am I as a servant? What service do I give? You may be discouraged. Let it bring you back to him. People of God, back to this Christ. In this morning, it would stir you with this readiness to serve. In the service, we also have the installation of the deacon. Let us, in closing, apply it especially to office bearers. Brothers, we see in the first place how important our own heart and life is in relation to our service. The first thing God told Moses to do for the Levites is not train them how to prepare those sacrifices or how exactly to move the tabernacle. The first thing he showed them was cleansing. Because in the service of the Lord, our first need is cleansing. Our first need is that grace of Christ leading us to dedicate ourselves to him wholly in our lives. Because otherwise, all our service is void. Therefore, as office bearers, let that be our first grace, that first concern. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The second thing we see here is to serve in dependence on this God of grace. So beautiful. In this preparation of the Levites to serve, they are given the signs of what God will be as a God who cleanses, and a God who gives forgiveness, and a God who leads to be dedicated to him. And at the beginning of your term, Brother Mooney, as we continue our terms, we have this message of God himself who says, let me serve you so that you may serve me and the church. I will minister unto you so that you may minister in the church. I have provided atonement to make you a servant. I provide cleansing and dedication to get the heart of a servant. Serve in dependence on me. It's actually such a beautiful way to serve. Because serve in dependence on him humbles. And then you go in the midst of the congregation as a sinner in the midst of sinners who cannot do without the blood. If you get it. Then it gives compassion. It's one who receives compassion of God who desire to show that compassion. Then it gives a concern for the honor of God. As one whom the Lord is cleansing, you desire to see others also cleansed from your sin. And give themselves first to God, also as deacons. You think of the people of Macedonia. They first gave themselves to God, and then they gave their gifts. And as a deacon, your desire is not just that there's money in the collection, but to see the congregation giving themselves to the Lord. Question, are you ready to serve? Question for us all. Are you ready to serve? Out of this grace of Christ, do you say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Though in a lowly station, the service of my Lord, I choose above all pleasures that simple ways before me. By his atoning, cleansing, dedicating grace. Amen.